Talking tonight about religion or relationship. Big difference. Religion or relationship. A lot of folks got religion. But everybody has relationship. Definition of relationship is to be connected to a person or an object. To be connected to something. We all know that marriages are pretty much strictly based success or failure on relationship. How the relationship goes. If you can't get along with each other, then you're probably not going to make it. Relationship's about investing. It's about giving. It's about receiving. That's why in a married couple's life, it's never one-sided, never one person. It's always both people giving in the relationship and both people taking in the relationship. As far as taking stuff back and just, you know, swallowing it and saying, you know what, it's okay. I'm not going to leave you over that because I love you. Many people don't have that when it comes to Jesus. They have religion. They can name a church they go to or a faith they belong to. You know, you see in the paper sometimes, I'm not trying to be critical, I just want to be real, because without a relationship, we cannot grow in the Lord. You see in the paper sometimes an obituary, someone dies, and you'll see they didn't maybe go to church, and they'll say they were of the Baptist faith, they were of the Methodist faith. I won't mind to say I was of the Christian faith, that I loved Jesus, that I had a relationship with the Lord, that I was his child. Religion is a system of regulations and rules that people try to follow. And a lot of those are in place for good reasons. A lot of those are good things to follow, of course. But a part of a relationship is not really real, because religion doesn't change us. A relationship does change us. Religion doesn't make us like Christ, but a relationship with him does make us like Christ. And so we're going to talk about the difference in relationship and religion, and how that with the relationship with Christ, we can grow. And we should be growing. We should be growing in our faith, growing in our walk with God. We should be growing as Christians. We shouldn't lay dormant. We shouldn't always be like we were. We should constantly be growing. And remember, relationship is only as strong as we invest into it. If we're not praying to God very much, you know what? It ain't God's fault. We don't hear from him. If we're not reading our word, not God's fault, we don't, you know, have that faith we need. We're not being in God's presence on purpose. I'm not talking about stumbling to it accidentally. I'm talking about a purposeful attention to God. To where we come into his presence on purpose and say, God, I want to spend time with you. I want to read your word. I want to pray. I want to talk to you. God, I want a relationship. I need something more, because what the preacher said might have been really good Sunday morning or Wednesday night, but it's Friday at 3 in the afternoon, or it's Tuesday at 2 in the morning, and I don't need that now. I need you, God. I need a relationship. I need to hear your voice crying out in the night to my life. The great thing about God's relationship with him, is he'll never leave us. The Bible says that, right? Never forsake us. He's always with us. So this relationship is not in, we don't have to worry about it being parted. We don't have to worry about losing it. We don't have to be insecure about relationship with Christ like we do other people. It is secure in him. We're going to start in 2 Timothy tonight. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy. See what he says about. Now, the purpose really in relationship with the Lord, of course we know we want to be saved, go to heaven, of course. But also we should want to be conformed and changed into his image. We should want to be more like Christ as we walk in the earth. We should want to reflect him. I say it all the time. The reason it's important that our light for God shows is that others will see the Father in us. How else can they see God in us if we're not shining that light? How can we shine that light if we're not living that life? How can we live that life if we don't have relationship with him? So we have to have a relationship. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this has always been a doom and gloom kind of message, preaching on this chapter, but we'll get to a different point. Chapter 3, verse 1. I'm sorry, I'm in 1 Timothy. Let me get to 2 Timothy. This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They shall be covetous and boasters and proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Boy, that's a long list, isn't it? How many of those hit y'all? None of them hit y'all? Wow. Think about that. We're in a generation of that. We're in a world of that. So self-absorbed, so much about us and about me. And he's saying, if you live that way, you're not going to see me active in your life very much. Because then he goes on to say in verse 5, having a form of godliness, a form of it, but denying the power. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. What is this talking about? Deny the power. Deny power to what? They deny the power that God changes them. That's what he's talking about. They deny the power of God changing them. Form of godliness. I mean, we all know people who are regular churchgoers who absolutely, if they didn't tell you they went to church, you wouldn't never know it by the way they live. Because they talk the same as the world, they do things the same as the world, they look like a carbon copy of the generation of sin. But yet they go to church, and they hide behind a church name or denomination or a baptism that they had 50 years ago where they're not living that life whatsoever. And they have this form of godliness and holiness, but they're not allowing the power of that God to change them. And by change them, I mean to change them out of how they used to be into what God wants them to be. See, there should be a constant manifestation of change in our lives as Christians. Yes, we get saved, our sins are forgiven, and then many people just stop. I'm saved, I'm on the way to heaven, stop. No, we don't stop. We grow. We grow in God. We let His power transform us and make us the light that He wants us to be in the world. How else are folks going to see the reality of God except through us? Many don't believe the Bible. Many don't believe the story of Jesus. Many don't believe all the stuff, you know, that they hear and preachers what they say. But when they see you living a life that's different than the world, when they see your life transposed, and the only way that can happen is a relationship. You know, as husbands and wives, we want to please our spouse. If we love them, we want to please them. And if there are things that are annoying or things that are detrimental to the relationship, we work on those things because we love our spouse. If that's hurting you, I don't want to do that. I'm not talking about when I get on Ellen's nerves picking on her and acting stupid. That's just who I am. But I'm talking about real serious issues. If there are things that are detrimental to our relationship and she tells me, look, this is hurting me, why do you do that? Why do you say those words to me? Why do you talk to me that way? It hurts me. I love her, so I got to step back and say, you know what? In this relationship, there's two people here. And if I want to have a better relationship with my wife, then I've got to be better myself. We want to have a better relationship with God. We've got to spend time knowing what God wants us to be. God, what do you want me to be? How do you want me to walk? I need your direction. I need your guidance. I need you to shut my mouth and quit so my tongue don't wag all the time. Take over my mouth, Lord. Take over my hands. Take over my feet and my eyes and my ears, that I will block out the things you don't want me to be a part of and embrace all you want me to be a part of. I want to be and live according to how you want me to live, God. I want a relationship with you. See, religion goes away. Someone gets saved. They come to the altar. They say, Lord, I accept you as my Savior. Repent their sins. That's wonderful. But if they don't build on that relationship after that point, they have nothing inside of them growing to help them fight what's coming in their path. All they have is that time they went to the altar, which is a good memory to have. But we need an active, present fighting force inside of us now. And that comes with a relationship, building it, building it. The way we build a relationship, we talk to God like we talk to our children, like we talk to our spouses, like we talk to people that we love. We build it, we work on it, we invest in it over and over. We keep on building a relationship with God so that we know what He wants to do and we can hear His voice clearly. How can we hear a voice of someone we don't ever spend time with? Or how do we know that is His voice if we don't spend time with Him? We cannot know the will of God for our lives if we are not spending time in His presence. And that takes a relationship. See, many people think church is the answer, which church is a big part of our lives, and it's very important. We think that getting saved and getting baptized, which also are very important. But to get through everyday life and to keep going forward, God wants us to hunger for Him, thirst for Him, long to be in His presence, long to hear what He has to say to us. The voice of God is not silent, not if we spend time with Him. Me and Mel have been together for a long enough now to pretty much, we can finish each other's sentences or kind of have the same thought pattern on a lot of things, or, you know, something will happen and we'll kind of have the same thought, you know, and we don't have to say anything because we're connected. We're connected. And we ain't got to say a word because we've spent time. I know what Melanie's likes are. I know what her dislikes are. I know her number one phobia in life is. I know her strengths and I know her weaknesses. I know her fears. I know her victories. I know her defeats. I know her storms of the past, her storms of the present. I know those things. Why? Because I spend time with her. I don't listen maybe the way she thinks I should listen as a man, but I'm listening a lot deeper than she realizes. And I'm noticing a lot more than she realizes. And I may seem shallow at times, and I may seem insensitive at times, but I'm processing who she is and what she's going through because I see her and I spend time with her. I went and got a bite to eat a couple hours ago. She had a late lunch and didn't want to go, and I went by myself to grab a bite to eat before church, and I was so lonely. I was sitting there, and I'm like, I'm so lonely. I so miss her being with me. This ain't right. I'm just so lonely. This woman walked in. I said, hey, you want to join me? No, I didn't say that. I'm so lonely. I'm like, because I'm used to having her with me. I really am. We have never been on a separate vacation together. She went to visit her family in Nebraska a few years ago, her and her sister, to see her family without me. That's the only time I think we've ever been apart on any kind of like trip, so to speak. I've been on some business trips, but anything personal trip. We've always been together. She's my best friend. She's one of the boys. She's the one I want to play poker with and smoke cigars. You know what I'm saying? Not anybody else. I don't do either one of those things. I'm just saying. She's one of the boys. And she's my best friend. I love my children, but they're not my best friend, especially a lot of times the way they act. I love my dog, but he's not my best friend. I love my wife. And see, that takes spending time together. Same way with the Lord. We have to spend time with God. There's a lot of people that use God in a crisis. They serve a crisis God. I only talk to God when something's going wrong. Or curse God when something's going wrong. Only time I talk to God is either if they're on the mountain, woo, hey God, you're doing good. Or they're in a valley. Why, God, you're letting this happen? The in-between, never talk to God. God doesn't desire that. What if you only talked to your wife when she made you happy, men? How much communication would there be? I mean, think about that. We talk to God, supposed to talk to God, daily, every day. Spend time with Him. Talk to Him. Don't have to be a long, drawn-out religious ceremony. Just know that God's an active force in your life. You're going to work, talk to Him. Coming home from work, talk to Him. You're at work, talk to Him. Just, you have those moments, you just dwell on the things of the Lord and let Him be that guiding force in your life every single day to direct your steps. We have a lot of people, religious form, but no power. And my point is this, how many folks profess they're Christians but don't present the fruit? They don't live the life. I'm not talking about perfection. But man, you ought to be able to go in, you ought to be able to look at, you know, my grandma, I used to say before, she had, still does, I guess, used to have fruit trees in her yard when I was a little boy. She had pear trees and did you have a cherry tree? Did you have an apple tree? You didn't have an apple tree. Apple tree. Yeah. Now, I used to go to those trees when I was a kid. And you know what? There were some rotten apples on them trees hanging. There were some bruised bad pears that nobody wanted. But I still use a pear tree. You know why? Because there's a lot more good pears than bad pears on that tree. It identified itself. We're going to have some bad pears. I understand that. I'm talking about our lives. We're going to have some bad apples hanging off of us sometimes. But people should be able to look at your life and still identify you belong to Christ. You belong to Jesus without saying a word. Just because of the way we live our lives. Because we're letting the relationship we have with God change us. Think about how, think about the person you idolize the most in the natural world. If there's one human being, past, present, future, well, not future, I guess you wouldn't know. One human being, past or present, that you can meet or go to dinner with or go spend the night with or go hang out with for 24 hours. Think about how excited you would be for that moment. I'm getting to spend personal time with blank, whoever that is in your life, past, present. I get to go spend 24 hours talking to whoever, Abraham Lincoln, Mozart, Noah, whoever it would be. Think about the excitement you would have and think about how many people you would tell when you got back whose presence you were in. Man, I got to go hang out with so-and-so. Man, we did this, we did this, we did this, we did this, we did this. We get to hang out in God's presence 24/7. He's there. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords chose to dwell in us. The Bible says we're the tabernacle. He's not in some tent we carry with smoke coming out. He lives inside of us. He decided to make his abode inside humanity. That's a sacred thing. And we have that presence at any moment just to walk in, just to experience. But so many times we don't. We just tune God out. Or we don't talk to him like we should. We don't use him like we should. We don't spend time with him. Everything else gets in the way. And there he is. Verse 7. Look at what 7 says. They're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There are people that can quote the Bible a lot more than me, that know every verse is, can cross every T and dot every I, that know what the Greek meaning of every word in the New Testament means, and have all this stuff, that can quote, and can know what religions, and can study religions, and tell you all about different religions. But none of that matters if there's no relationship. And there's a difference. Relationship. That's what's important. The first thing God created on the earth was relationship. Adam and Eve. He created man. He said, I don't want to be lonely. He gave him woman. He created relationship. It's important. Relationship. You know how many teens take their own lives because of relationship problems? Either a boy was mean to them, or they were bullied by someone, or girls are snubbing them, or they feel no one loves them. All of that's relationship issues. All of it. All of it's relationship issues. We weren't meant to be lonely. That's why God came, that we wouldn't be alone. So even if you've lost your spouse and all your kids are grown and gone out of the house, you still have the presence of Jesus, the presence of a holy God with you and in you that never leaves you and never forsakes you. And that's relationship that's worth everything. Because if nobody else can fix your problem, he can. When nobody understands you, he does. All of us hold things in that we don't share with others because it's just they won't understand, but God does. People are coming to the knowledge, or they're always learning, but never coming to the truth. It's not about all the good deeds we do. It's not about how much we come to church or serve or give or do all this. It's about, and all these things will stem out of a relationship, but it can be also separated from relationship. There are many people that know of God, but don't know God. They know of God, but don't know who God is. I don't know all things about God, but I know I'm his child. I know he lives in me. I know when I talk to him, he listens. Every time I whine, he listens. Every time I complain, he listens. Every time I'm afraid, he holds me. Every time I'm sick, he heals me. Every time I'm depressed, he picks me up. These things I know because the God I serve doesn't fail me and he doesn't forsake me. But until you know who he is, you can't have those experiences. They're just things you hear about instead of things that you're experiencing for yourself. I want to experience what I've heard Grandma talk about, don't y'all? It's great Grandma talks about those things, but it's better to experience them for yourself to know, oh yeah, Grandma, I know what you're talking about. That God you're talking about on my mind, on my hands, on my feet, all over me, that's the God I serve. I've been there and done that and know about it. Hallelujah. I know what you're talking about because we've got a relationship with him. Relationships are very special and they take work. Relationships are constant building our whole lives. You don't ever stop building a relationship. Just because you've been married 25 years or 40 years doesn't mean you stop working on the relationship. You keep working together, building it, building it, building it, so you stay together. With Christ, same thing. We can't just talk to God once a month and then, well, I don't hear no voice. I don't have no revelation. I don't have no direction. I don't know what to do. I'm this and I'm confused and I'm this and why ain't he talking to me? Got to spend time with him. Man, God still talks if we'll listen. God speaks to us if we'll listen. Talk to him and open up your ears and say, Lord, I need an answer. I need some direction. And God, I'm going to spend time talking to you and praying and worshiping your name and giving you praise and glory until the answer comes. And it will come, and God will speak. Go to the next scripture, Brandon. This is in Titus, the little book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 16. It's the very next book, actually. They profess that they know God. They profess they know God, but in works, they deny him. What does that mean? They're not living what they say they believe. We know some folks like that, too. The Word of God is telling us, yeah, they say they're godly. I'm a Christian. I know God. But their life doesn't demonstrate that. You know why? There's no real relationship. See, when you're really into a relationship, you reflect what you're related to. I'm a husband, so I act like a husband. I'm a father, so I act like a father. I'm a pastor to a congregation, so I try to act like a pastor. You reflect the relationship that you are in. You become that if you're in a real relationship. So just because you profess God doesn't mean they are of God. In works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, a reprobate. Look what the Amplified says. Go to the next verse. This is the Amplified version of the same verse. They profess to know God, to recognize and perceive him, and be acquainted with him, but they deny and disown and renounce him by what they do. Let that sink in a minute. They're godly by mouth. But boy, what they do says everything different because they're not a relationship. No one is saved by becoming a Baptist. No one is saved by being baptized in the Pentecostal church. No one is saved by all the Hail Marys of the Catholic Church. No one is saved because they profess their faith in their denomination or their pastor or whatever it is. Acts 4:12, there is no name whereby men can be saved except that one name, Jesus. That's the only way we have relationship. I mean, you know, we tend to think everybody in the church is saved because they're here. They're not. They don't have everybody don't have a relationship. I've been preaching to folks for 13 years now. A lot of them have been here for 10 years. A lot of the people have been here that long. And I know there's times they're not listening. I know there's times it's not hitting. I know there's times they're not hearing. I'm talking about really hearing. Hearing here, yes. Hearing here, no. For whatever reason, that's, I don't know. They're blocking it. They don't want to hear it. They can't hear it. I don't know. But for year after year in this church, there are people that hear God's word but don't hear God's word. And until we get it here, you know, I broke up with Melanie. I broke up with Melanie when we was dating, just being stupid and just, you know, whatever. And I broke up with her, and there was no reason. I was just stupid. I don't know why I broke up with her. I still really don't know why, but I did. Well, yeah, I got cold feet, I guess. Bill Fuller got married, and I don't know. I don't know. I knew I was going to marry her, but he got married, and I'm like, man, everything's going to change. Yeah, but anyway, that's his fault. But anyway, I broke up with Melanie, and we worked together at the same store at Food Line. And so I didn't speak to her. And you know how when you know you're in the wrong, that conviction just makes you angrier and angrier. So I broke up with her. We had to work together. I was kind of ignoring her at work. She came down my aisle speaking to me. I wasn't even speaking to her. I don't know. My mom and dad, you need to get back. Grandpa told me you let her go is the worst mistake you ever make. Had everybody on my back. I felt like, you know, get off my back, people. You know, because I knew I was wrong. But everybody was just, people I work with, man, you let her go. Man, why'd you break up? Look at her. Why'd you let her? Everybody, I don't want to hear it. Something I had to process. I don't know. But here's my point. She went cruising one night with the guy I worked with. Now, what's the story? No, I'm thinking about a story where I got jealous. Oh, Oh, yeah, and this guy was kind of I think flirting with her a little bit, and I didn't like that at all. Well, I know that, but I did not like the fact this other guy, all of a sudden, I was reminded how much I loved her when somebody else started trying to flirt with her, mess with her. I didn't like it at all. You know why? Because I had a relationship with her. I done built a relationship with her, and I knew I loved her. I didn't want nobody messing with her. God doesn't want anybody messing with us as his children, and he loves us that way. But it took that. I was connected to Melanie already. Even though we were broke up, I still was connected in a way that I knew was deep. And it made me just so jealous to see this guy trying to flirt with her and stuff. I stopping a car and kicking him out to the side of the door. See, relationships are special, and they're sacred. Relationship we have with God is sacred too, and it's special. And we have a generation of people that profess God, but their works deny it all. They renounce him by what they do. They are detestable. And next one. They're detestable and they're loathsome. There you go. They're unbelieving. They're disobedient. They're disloyal. They're rebellious. Look what it says. They are unfit and worthless for good work, dead of any kind. They're worthless. People that say they have they're godly, but yet their works, their life, their testimony doesn't reflect that because there's not a relationship. I want the point to really be drilled home tonight that with us as Christians, God desires we have a relationship, not a religion, not hiding behind a name, a denomination, or a church, but that we really know who God is. We know what he's about. That we talk to God. People ask me all the time, I don't know how to pray. You talk to God. You just talk to him. There's no formal prayer thing. There's no outline of where we have to say all the these, thous, and thuses. There's no position we have to assume, whether it's knee or hands or feet or on our head. Just talk to God from your heart and express how you feel and worship him. And there's times you worship in different ways. And times you'll be on your feet with your arms in the air or crawl down in the fetal position, bow before him under such a glory. Whatever it is, just worship him and praise him and let God grow you in that relationship. We as Christians should know more about God as the journey goes on than we did 20 years earlier. We should be growing. Don't we grow in everything else? We grow in technology. None of us, well, a few of you, very few have a flip phone anymore. Now we've got all the iPhones, all the nice the Apple 6 or i6 or whatever. Does all this stuff. Tells your blood type, checks your blood pressure. I mean, it does everything you want to. I'm just playing, Roxy. She goes, wow. It probably does. But I'm just saying, it's got all this technology. And we grow with that, boy. We want that new technology. Nobody has a 13-inch TV rabbit antenna TV no more. It's your sole source of TV, I bet you, in this church. I used to. No, we got cable, Time Warner, satellite, dish, 50,000 channels we never even look at. Because we grow with the times. We want the newest thing. None of y'all are driving a 1964 Ford Fairlane. You've got a new Honda or a new Toyota or a new truck. Because we grow with the times. But when it comes to relationship with God, all of a sudden we think, okay, I'm saved. I'm going to church. I'm good. No, let's grow. Let's get closer and know more about God and reflect more of his image. For the world we're living in needs to see that light. We're in a dark generation that needs to see there are some saints of God that are carrying the flame, that have refused to bow the knee, that are standing on the principles of the cross and on what Christ did for us. And we ought to wave that banner with boldness and with confidence. But we can if we don't know who he is. If we would cheer for God like we'll cheer for our game tonight at 9 o'clock on ESPN, if we would cheer for God like that, imagine one of the noisiest crowds in college basketball is Duke. One of the noisiest crowds is Duke. Imagine if all that noise is made for God. Instead of the Duke crazies, the God crazies, right? Ooh, they do that shaking, ooh, all over the Coliseum. Man alive. What if we did that for God? How in the world? Can you imagine the power that would usher in? 20,000 people. Ooh, God. Good Lord. Whew. My goodness. Talking about a Holy Ghost time in that place. I don't think so either. If we could get, but see, we build relationships with our sports teams. We build relationships with our cars. We call them names, right? We got names for our cars. There's old Chuck. Good Chuck. I'm going to wash Chuck's hood. I'm going to wash Chuck's tires. I mean, we got names for our fishing rods. You ever name your fishing rods, Joe? Tell the truth. Yep. Name fishing rods. We name our guns. We name everything. We build a relationship with stuff. But when it comes to God, it's like that's just not that important. I'm saved. I'm okay. We need the presence of God every day. Life changes every day. Phone calls happen every day. Our storms can come in an instant. And without that relationship with God, what do we have to stand on? Nothing. That's why the Lord says to build your house up on a rock. Not on the sand, on a rock. We've all been to the beach. We know you cannot walk very good on the soft part of the sand. You can't hardly walk. You're sinking, you're twisting, you can't get no grip. It's horrible to try to walk in the sand. You don't do power walking in the sand. You can't do that, not in the soft part. He says, build your house on a rock so when the storm comes, the winds can blow and blow and blow like the big bad wolf, but the house will not fall because you build it on a rock. You know what that rock is? A relationship with me. You've built it. Peter told the Lord, he said, who do you say I am? He said, they say you're this. Who do you say I am? I say you're Jesus, Son of God, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock, Peter, will I build my church? This was not talking about the Catholic Church or any pope. It was talking about on this revelation of who I am and the relationship that I'm going to have with you and you with me is going to be the beginning of the Christian faith. That's the foundation. That's the rock. You know who I am. And man, and then the day of Pentecost came in that upper room, cloven tongues of fire, and a sound like no sound before had came in. You know what happened? The presence of God ushered itself into humanity. And now we have a relationship with the one who walked on the water and who calmed the stormy sea and who raised Lazarus from the dead. That same God now lives inside of me and you. That's called a relationship. Hallelujah. The resurrection of life now lives in us. And that's what we should be seeking for and longing for. Think about Daniel, how that night, if he had a relationship with God, how long that night would have been. But I imagine he talked to God all night long, prayed to God, sought God, trusted God. I mean, think about the relationship David had in that all the times he was tending sheep out in the field, that time he had talking to God and dwelling on God and trusting God, building that relationship. That's why when Goliath came and everybody else was too chicken to go fight him, he wasn't. It wasn't David was all that. It wasn't he was some cocky young kid who didn't have no sense. David had seen the hand of God kill the lion and kill the bear. And David was there when God did that. And David knew who his God was. David talked to God and David walked with God. So when the giant came up, that relationship was already built to a point of trusting God. That I don't have to worry about Goliath. I done seen what my God had done. He'll do it again because I know who I serve. That's the God that David knew. And that's all about building relationship. The more we see God, the more time we spend with God, the deeper our relationship grows, the stronger we become, the more empowered we walk, and the more faith we encounter because we see God as who He is. I mean, think about, you know, years ago, I guess they still do it. There's a thing, a trend going around where you put motivational speaker in your little tape deck. People listen to it at night sleeping, remember? And they say it's saying, you are going to be a success. And you go to sleep hearing that over and over. You are number one. You are the man. You are the eye of the tiger. You are going to be great. Don't let nobody tell you no. You are the cream of the crop. You are the cat's meow. You know, whatever it is going in your ear. And you go to sleep hearing all that stuff. Well, man, we have the Word of God that we should be reading. You are more than a conqueror through Christ, which strengthened me. You are above and not beneath. You're the head and not the tail. All these scriptures that God gives us, no weapon formed against you will prosper. 1,000 will fall here, 10,000 here, but not one single thing will come nigh your dwelling. Hear that over and over, and all of a sudden something happens. You start believing what you're reading and who you're serving, and you'll walk like that. What am I being afraid of? My God, He is my Lord. He is my God. He is my Savior. And I want to see Him for all that He is, not the limited vision of what I think He is. Because the more we spend time with Him, the more we see Him as He is. Go to the next scripture. John 15:4 says, Jesus talking, abide in me, I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, you no more can you except you abide in me. Presence, relationship. I am the vine, Jesus says, and you're the branches. Now think about this. Think about a natural tree. Take an apple tree. God is the tree. Joe and Sharon and Gail are the branches. They come off the tree. What comes off those branches? Fruit. See, it's Joe and Sharon and Gail's responsibility to bear the fruit, to produce the fruit. But they can't produce the fruit unless they're attached to the vine. They can't produce the fruit unless they're attached to Him. When we're attached to God, we will, not maybe, not could, we will produce fruit for others to see what we are and who we are in Christ. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth much forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Oh, if we get that mentality. Without him, God, without you, I can do nothing. The world is trying to take God out of everything. Our TV shows, I don't even watch any modern TV shows anymore. They're way too just junk. Just their mentality, their ideology, too much junk. Not fit to even watch anymore. The lessons is trying to teach. See, there's a new norm trying to be taught. A new norm. You know, the new norm is two mommies. You know, it's two daddies. That's one of the new norms is trying to be taught to our kids in school, a new norm. But if we go by God's word, that's not His norm. It never will be His norm. It's not how it rolls, not in God's word. When we spend time attached to the vine, we will produce the fruit God wants us to produce, but we got to be attached to Him. We've got to be in Him. One more verse, we'll close out. This is Revelation 3:20. This is Jesus speaking as well. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and I will sup with him. I will eat with him. I will dine with him. You study what this means about, behold, I knock. If you do some studying on this, this knocking wasn't a one-time knock. This knocking is a persistent. Persistent. I want you to picture this. Your whole life, here's God. You're 15, hadn't answered. 18, hadn't answered. But you still hear that. 21, 25, 35. But one day, you get out of your chair and you open that door. You say, God, I'm ready. I've had enough my way. And He has promised, if you'll open that door, I'll come in. I'll have a relationship with you. No matter what you've done, where you've been, how bad you've been, just let me come in. I want a relationship. And it's that relationship that changes everything. Because now we know who we belong to. We know who we are. We don't know who we are before Christ. Not really. We're trying to find ourselves. That's why the young generation go through so many confusing stages, because they're trying to find where they fit in and who they belong to and who they are. But when Christ lets you know you're mine, that settles a lot of things. I'm yours, Lord. That's all that matters. They may not like me, may not accept me, but you do. That's the greatest thing at all. As long as you accept me, God, everything else will work out. Relationship or religion, let God grow you. Let God grow you. He wants to grow you. In walking with Him, so that we experience all He has for us. We cannot know the will of God in our lives without spending time in His presence. And that takes building a relationship with God. God is not some distant, supernatural, ghostly figure. God is a ever-present help living inside of us. There's times I could call on God, church. And here's another thing we have to be very mindful of. God can move upon us in any moment, any instant. We can feel his presence. We don't have to be in church jamming to a drums or a piano or an altar call moment going on. We can be still in our homes, still in our car, still laying in bed, and feel his presence cover us in that quiet moment. That's the presence of God that I love, that I know he's, I don't have to conjure God up. I don't have to bribe God to spend time with me. I don't have to go take him to lunch just to have a talk. He's with me always. Thing I love about Roxy's heart, she's 17 years old, and we talk some, and she loves God so much. She lives right here. She'll go out in her front yard, in that little chair and table, and take her Bible. And she'll just read for on and on and on. She'll read the Bible, pray. She sings all the time, she says. Just sings to God out there in her yard. Her and God. That feels good, don't it? You think God hears you? Yeah. What a beautiful thing that is. See, Roxy is exercising what she has, that relationship with God. If we're Christians, we have that relationship. It's a matter of how much we're investing into it, how much we're building it. You know, the one challenge I think every pastor faces, and of course I face it here, and it's something I can't fix. I've learned that in 13 years of pastor. I can't fix it. I want to fix it. I want to just shake it, but I can't fix it. We have so many folks that are just not consistent in their walk with God. They're not consistent in church. They're not consistent with hearing the word. They're not consistent in serving the body. They're in and out, in and out, in and out. And if we could ever learn to be consistent, you know how we grow? We got to be planted. Try planting tomato plant tomorrow and then moving it 3 days later, planting again, then moving it, planting again, then moving it, planting again. You ain't going to get a whole lot out of that. I mean, it's got to be planted, it's got to be cultivated, it's got to be taken care of. And so many people don't stay long enough to get planted and be consistent. And that's how we grow. That's how we grow. So relationship or religion? I want a relationship. Religion don't save me. Jesus did. And I got saved in 1980. I got saved under an old canvas tent camp meeting up in the cow pasture of Wilkes County. And I remember they had an altar call. They had a makeshift stage they built for the tent. Preacher had an altar call at the end. I mean, I'm in the middle of a cow field. You know, it's 10, 11 o'clock at night. It's late. You know, back in, churches went forever. Nobody complained either. That was what was great. Y'all look at your walk. Y'all done ready to go home now. You know, back in, nobody complained. And I think it's another problem, too. We put God to a certain timetable of attention span, and then we just kind of, anyway, that's another. But anyway, I got saved, and preacher had an altar call. I was 9 years old. Mom and dad standing beside me. I didn't ask them nothing. I just stepped out of that. We had sawdust on the ground, you know, and all that good stuff. And I remember stepping out and walking up there to that platform, crying like a baby, shaking. God was moving on me so strong. It wasn't religion that saved me. It wasn't a church that saved me. God's presence saved me. God called my name. And from that moment on, I've had a relationship. It could have been a lot better through the years. Still could be better now. Because like I said, relationships about spending time with someone. And we let work get in the way, kids get in the way, family get in the way, money problems get in the way, everything else get in the way. Take time to start working on your relationship again with God. Just a few minutes a day. Say, God, I'm going to start every few minutes every day really just focusing on you and spending time building that relationship so I can hear from you. And I'll know what to do. I need some answers, God. That's my message tonight. I hope it would bless you and encourage you. Just thankful I have that. So thankful I have that. That hand of God watching over me and the ones that I love. You know, my son had that wreck in Nebraska, and it happened in the middle of the night, 4 o'clock in the morning. We was in bed asleep, but God wasn't. Man, I'm glad for that. I'm glad God wasn't asleep. I'm glad his presence was watching over my son. Not many folks walk away from getting hit by a semi in the back of a car on the interstate. I'm glad God was watching over my son. So, he's real, church. Grandma, you want to sing that song one more time in closing? I like that song.